Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian Lenny. He is the founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review and also the premium newsletter that he produces, which I am a subscriber of. Brian, I just wanted to bring you on and get your insights as to how you are playing this metals market. Look, no doubt we have had some weakness in a broad range of stocks. The majors have produced some very good financial numbers, but the lack of news flow when it comes to the juniors and the fact that I think more shares are coming free trading here over the next couple months, it's generally weighed on the precious metals stocks. That and investors are also very distracted by the U.S. election. So how have you been playing this market?
For me, it's, you know, it is usually business as usual. I haven't really changed much, but what I have done in the last couple of weeks is put in a lot of stink bids on new companies and companies that exist in the portfolio, you know, going at least 15-20% below wherever the company was trading at and seeing if it fills. And out of probably the, you know, 10 or 15 orders I put in, you know, probably just less than half have actually filled, which is great. And I think that's due to the uncertainty that you see in the market. You know, there's still a lot of uncertainty what's going to happen with the U.S. election. You know, is it going to be contested or is it going to be a landslide either way to the Democrats or Republicans and what that exactly means? I think either way, you're going to see a lot of stimulus still come out. It's not if, but when. But that timing factor is a big thing. And for me anyways, you know, I'm going to wait and see what happens. You know, I like the positions that I'm in. If I can add while it goes low, that's great. But if things want to go sideways, I can wait until I see a more certain outlook. As you point out, you know, those shares that are coming free trading in a lot of these placements from the summer, you know, we've definitely seen a bunch of them sold over the last couple of months. You know, September was really the first glimpse of those early, I guess, what it would have been May-ish or April-ish when those financings would have been done. And we've definitely seen some selling, but I don't think it's been overwhelming, you know, which means that, you know, there is uncertainty, but there still is that bullishness undertone. But, you know, if we get a contested election and we have a delay in the stimulus coming, I think you could see a lot of fearful sellers, and therefore that could be a dangerous mix with a bunch of paper coming free trading. And so for me, you know, again, I like where I am and I'm patient and I'm waiting with stink bids.
So I guess it's fair to say that you're holding still a bit of a cash position here and trying to dive into some of the stocks that you like at much lower, almost fishing line declines. But you're not rushing into anything right now, right? It's good to have cash during these times of slow and uncertain markets.
Exactly. And that's why no matter what the market is, my process stays the same. I'm always trimming positions. I always want to have cash available. It lets me sleep at night knowing that, you know, if things did go bad, that I have cash to deploy or cash to do whatever, to live, however you want to frame it. So I always trim positions. I'm not going to hold, a stock that has 10 bagger potential. That's great that it has 10 bagger potential, but I guarantee you that I will not have the same amount of shares that I started with when it hits 10 bagger. And that's just me personally, but that's how I reduce my risk. And again, that's how I sleep at night, you know, very well. And that's why these are great opportunities. Like I think going back, a lot of the emails that I saw in August to September, people were saying, you know, what should I do? Buy, sell, blah, blah, blah. And for me, you know, to subscribers, I just kept on telling them, you know, this, you keep on buying and selling as you normally would. And you make sure that you are selling though, because you're going to want to have cash if this market doesn't go where you think it is, because everybody has this bullish outlook in the midst of the run, right? You're up 200% on a position. The only place it can go is up. And then unfortunately, you end up having more sellers than buyers and the market takes a turn and you are where we are today. Where we are today, I think the people that have, you know, stuck to their process and, you know, they've left some cash on the table are, you know, they're benefiting immensely. And they may even benefit more if we continue to see a sell-off.
So, Brian, one thing I outlined at the beginning, too, is that the majors, producers, are producing very impressive financial numbers. It makes sense, right? Energy costs are pretty much stuck, and, well, metals prices are generally higher this whole quarter. What do you think about the ability or the incentiveness of producers, not just the big ones, but maybe some of these smaller producers and the companies that are talking about being in production early to mid next year?
Yeah, you know, I think the uncertainty in the market is pretty tough. I think a lot of the companies, you know, as we were talking before we started recording, a lot of those bigger companies are still in maybe cutting processes or an action plan that they've had going for the last couple of years, and they really haven't unwound it yet. And I think the uncertainty that has been created by COVID and what things look like 2 and 3 months ahead are so murky. That I think there's a lot of things that are going to be stagnated and delayed. You know, like this, it's interesting to see, one of the things I've been quite amazed at is the delays in the assay labs. I think anybody could have seen it coming when you ramp up into a bull market and money's raised and people start to put the drills to the ground. You could see it coming, but I wouldn't have guessed that it would have been as bad as it is today. Like waiting, you know, in South America, there's a couple of companies that I follow that, you know, they were delayed almost 2 months from when they had told investors they were expecting results to when they actually got them. And, you know, again, with all that money in the system and all that drilling happening, it doesn't look like it's going to be speeding up anytime soon. And unfortunately, exploration in most cases is an iterative process where you need to get those assays back so you can decide how you want to move forward. And I just see more delays kind of compounding. And then, you know, there's still places around the world, even though the World Health Organization has come out and said that lockdowns aren't the answer now. But some countries are still doing it, right or wrong, they're still doing it. And so, you know, if this stuff continues, I only see more delays. But the bottom line for me is they may be delays, but to me, the gold and silver thesis has never been better. And to me, it's just when, not if.
Yeah, that's fair. But we'd really need just some of this uncertainty to be behind us. And hopefully that means that the election will be behind us next week. And it won't be a long, drawn-out, contested election. But again, nobody knows how that's all going to play out. I know a lot of people have opinions, but fact of the matter is nobody knows. Now, Brian, when it comes to individual stocks, is there anything that you can outline to our listeners that you are watching, or even just area plays, anything in general that you think people should at least have their eye on?
Honestly, for me, I've been particularly interested in exploration. But with the caveat that I'm looking for, you know, the best of the best, you know, looking for exploration companies that have big targets. They've got the right people looking at how to, you know, optimize how they go after these targets, and of course the cash to execute on everything that they're doing. And the caveat to that is too, the companies that have maybe multiple projects, but multiple targets, you know, where you can have more kicks at the can, because unfortunately, even the best exploration companies and the best targets, you know, probably more often than not are going to come up empty. So if you can have multiple projects or multiple targets on a very good project, I think that's a huge plus. And for me, the other side to it is, I think there's some things that have happened, particularly in South America, that it really makes me wonder about jurisdictional risk these days. Most of the portfolio, the junior soccer review portfolio, is focused on what you would call tier one jurisdictions. So, you know, Canada, the US, Scandinavia, Japan. And then there's a couple in South America, and one that we actually just sold in South America. And it was kind of controversial because there's some people that obviously had some very strong emotional ties to this particular company, which is fine. But what I think you're going to see more and more moving ahead is governments are going to have to pay for these huge amounts of debt that they have, they've unleashed on their countries over the last 4 months. It'll be really interesting moving into 2021 to see how they plan to pay for it, because I think they're going to have to start coming out with policy that's going to have to support this unbelievable spending. And that's when we should get a really clear picture of where our money is most at risk and where it's not.
All right, Brian, we are going to wrap it up here. I'm going to post a link to your website below so everyone can check out some of your free articles and also look into signing up for your newsletter. Brian, appreciate your time on this Friday. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, Corey.